Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's Lottie Ryan here with you until midday this morning, and I'm very excited. I'm going to try not to fangirl. I'm going to try and keep my cool, keep it together, you know, be professional. But when Kin ended, I thought I'd be able to catch my breath, come out from behind the couch, but oh no, no, no. My nerves are back on edge all over again because we've got this fantastic new six-part crime thriller called Hidden Assets. It's currently running on RTE1 on Sunday nights, and joining me on the line is one of the stars of the show. But before I have a chat with him, I want you to take a listen to him in action.
I told you already, I bought cocaine from Darren. Small amounts, that's all. And I'm absolutely certain BB doesn't know him, and I've no idea how her employee ended up there.
Okay. And this gym you and Darren Reed are members of, what's it called?
Titanic Fitness. Do I need my lawyer here?
Not right now.
Oh, it's so good. Peter Coonan, how are you doing, man?
How's it going, Lottie? How are things?
Things are good this morning. Now, Peter, for those who maybe haven't seen it yet, or they're, I suppose, planning to binge it on the player, can you tell us a bit about Hidden Assets and the plot of the show?
Right, okay. So the show is about, mainly about Emer Berry, Angeline Ball's character, who has now moved across to CAB and is investigating a family and their wealth, and where the strands of wealth have disappeared to, and how they may be trying to retrieve certain assets around the world. Focusing on my sister's character, played by Simone Kirby, who's based in Antwerp, and then my connections to various other dealings. They're trying to figure out what is going on with these various little connections and trying to pin them together. And at the same time, they have connected up a counter-terrorism in Belgium through various connections with certain characters. Without giving too much away, am I totally just running around the plot there without...
Yeah, pretty much. let's focus in then maybe, Peter, on your own character. It's kind of like a glamorous, dodgy type of person.
Glamorous, dodgy type of person. Yeah, I suppose that is it in a nutshell, to a degree. I mean, there's more to him, I suppose. It's someone who would have grown up in the spotlight due to being connected with his father was a very wealthy businessman, and everything that he did was scrutinized by the media. So it would have been quite tricky for him growing up in certain ways. I mean, obviously growing up with a lot of wealth gives it certain challenges, but so for me, I suppose it was interesting to play someone who kind of bridges those two worlds. Like, it's kind of the grey area where, you know, he was brought into it, kind of a product of his environment. But also then is trying to do good in certain sides of his life to maybe rectify things that happened in the past.
Now, I can't not ask about Fran. I'm sorry. I was saying to myself, no, play it cool, Lottie, don't do it. But I can't not ask, because I adored Love Hate. I was one of the diehard fans, and you know, I have to ask you about your time playing that character, just in terms of, because it became so, I suppose, embedded in the culture, for me anyway, amongst my friends and stuff. What was it like for you living while that was filming?
I was looking back now, it was an incredibly exciting time. Like, even talking about it now, I kind of get goosebumps, because it was such a special show to be part of, you know. It just, at the time when it was made, and with the actors and the writers, and it was just a perfect mix, a perfect time for people with a certain energy, like David Caffrey, Stewart, all the ADT, everyone that in Ireland at the time, who are now working far afield and here on some incredible productions, be it behind the camera or assistant directors or directors or cameramen or whatever else. It just was a perfect time where young actors coming through, writers coming through, directors with incredible energy. And it just, you know, it just worked out really well. And it was a really exciting time to be involved with. And, you know, you were kind of very proud of it. And I still am. I mean, only yesterday I was in the shops and a young guy heard someone say Peter or whatever, and he said, "You're a big Clooney." And he said, "You're a fan." And he's like, "I just started watching it with my parents." And he was like, "Because I'm 21 and I was too young at the time." And then I was like, "Oh God, that's 7 years." Because it was 7 years ago when they were when the last season aired, you know, so it's even further 10 years from when it started. So I'm like, holy God, like, this is where it's at. And that's like, that is another element of pride, that you're like, another generation are watching it. So
that's incredible.
It keeps on going and it keeps on being relevant, and people still get something out of it. And I mean, if I did nothing out with the rest of my career, I'd still be able to stand and say that that's, you know, something incredibly proud to be part of.
And I think you just kind of briefly touched on it there, but I think it's so important for young and up and coming actors and, as you mentioned, people behind the cameras as well, and writers and whatever, but that kind of rare moment of a petri dish where these people get their start and they're fed out into the world, and people get to see what an incredibly talented community we have of working actors and just people who work in that business, and how amazing everybody is. And I just think it's so important that that platform is continuously put back to people who are only up and coming.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's great that, like you said, at the start of the show, that Kin is on and this is straight after. I think, you know, we need to see shows like this happening every year. You know, why not? I mean, build on the strength of the writers that we have and the talent that we have, and really help to nurture them. I mean, one of the great writers who I worked with as a young actor in UCD, your brother is in one of his plays at the moment, Stephen Jones. You know?
Oh, he's an amazing, amazing talent.
Stephen Jones' first play called Billy Goes to Glenview Park that we did in UCD was what got me my first break in a film, and then subsequently into Love 8. So, you know, we need to nurture these talents. We need to, you know, if anyone's in UCD now thinking about getting into drama, so go down, put your name on the board and just do it. You never know.
And I mean, do you think then things like Love 8 that had such a multitude of talent in it, do you ever feel like it should have maybe gone further afield, or should it have had legs a bit further in the States and had success over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky question, Lottie, but a part of me, if I'm perfectly frank and honest, would have loved to have seen it go further afield. And I think, you know, the fact that we were nominated for television awards in Europe and the world's meant that we did. It could stand up at the time against the likes of Breaking Bad, at the time against the lots of...
Then what was it, Peter? Why didn't it happen?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's not my side of the gig, I suppose. I think at the time there wasn't as many platforms out there to put it out. I mean, now it's kind of seamless to think that you produce a show and that you partner up with Netflix, you partner up with Amazon, and then immediately then it goes into those streaming devices, which are so easily accessible. I think it was harder back then to try and get them out there. But I mean, now, I mean, it's still bizarre how people manage to see it. Their box sets were sent all across, or various, like, I suppose, illegal streaming or whatever was going on. But people I was in Charleston in South Carolina visiting my better half's brother back in, I'd say, 2000, and it could have been 13 or 14. And sitting there in a bar having some food, and a guy from Texas was like, "Hey man, you're not that guy from Love 8."
Like, no way!
So he had seen it through a friend who had it in the box set, who came from New Zealand.
It's amazing.
So there's kind of something romantic about that as well, and something beautiful in that kind of those kind of stories that happen. But
do you think shows like Kin and Hidden Assets could make that leap that Love 8 didn't?
I think Kin has been produced by Bronze. So, I mean, I think the idea would be that it would do well in the States. I haven't checked the numbers, but I think it's a brilliant show, incredibly well acted, and Hidden Assets as well. I mean, the great, great storylines and great, great characters, and Peter McKenna, I mean, what a formidable writer.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean... But still, you know, to this day, I suppose still people are still watching Love Hate. So that just shows what class of show it is. But Hidden Assets and Kin, I think, yes, will potentially break down that wall.
Hopefully, I really would love to see that happen. On a separate note, because I do the entertainment news here on 2FM, and it was just such a big story over the past couple of weeks about Alec Baldwin and on the film Rust, and just the terrible incident where accidentally Helena Hutchins was killed after a prop gun was discharged accidentally. So obviously you have worked on sets where guns are present. What do you think about gun safety and what had happened there? I mean, do you think it's something that needs to be readdressed in the film industry?
Oh God, it's a tricky, tricky terrain. I mean, as I said previously in an interview, it's so different here than the States in regards to using whatever kind of guns. I mean, I'm sure, like, in this day and age, you know, they can make replica guns that do not need to have real bullets anywhere near them at any stage. I mean, with certain budgets. I know in Ireland, it's probably cheaper to kind of use secondhand guns, but I know for certain when I've ever worked on shows, and I remember starting out Love Hate and being quite concerned and not really knowing anything about it and being young and like, oh yeah, it's great. But that everyone was completely like, would explain to you to the nth degree what was happening, you know, and you would never be left in the dark about it, and you'd do practice before you went in so that you would feel comfortable doing what you do. So, I mean, I can't really, I mean, obviously something needs to be readdressed, but I mean, in regards to that situation, it seems like it was just unbelievably tragic.
I mean, to be honest with you, Peter, I was actually quite surprised when the story broke, full stop, because I, now maybe it's my naivety as I'm not involved in the industry, but I would have thought that stuff was all fixed up in post-production, bullets.
Well, actually, I don't think the bullets was the scenario. I think it was just a gun. Like, I mean, I remember when someone said it to me, I could kind of try and picture what was happening. Yeah, he was coming out of a church and pulling a gun out, you know, just to kind of put it towards the camera as if to, you know, as he's backing out and the camera's looking at him. But I don't know. I mean, God knows how the bullets got in there or whatever happened in that regard. But no, I think they like to see guns look real when they're shooting at it. But I mean, the question is about the bullets and stuff like that. I mean, how did they get in there? And that's just for the police and whoever else organised. But I mean, the end of the basic story here is what a tragedy for her family. She's got kids, she's, you know, a husband. Oh,
it's just terrific. It's just terrific. Yeah. On a completely separate note, though, I know that you're a dad to three young children. Dare I say, is that your best role to date?
Yeah, it's the role that matters the most.
I have recently had my first child, Peter. I've a 5-month-old at home.
Oh God!
Could you give me some tips, please?
You're in the deep of it, yeah. The whirlwind.
Oh, it's like being hit by a train. It's like your whole universe is toppled upside down, but in the best possible way. But what would your top tips be for me?
Oh my God. Just let the baby find its own rhythm and don't put yourself under too much strain. Just
good tips.
Doing what you're doing, you're doing great.
I like that. I like that. Peter, what's next? Have you got a lot in the pipeline?
I've got a few bits going on at the moment. I'm shooting a series at the moment up till Christmas. And then after that, I just, as I say, three kids and my better half of the restaurant and just trying to keep it all afloat at the moment. I just need to get to the end of this and then get to Christmas and then start the new year and see what happens, you know.
Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me this morning. And the absolute best of luck with all your endeavours in the future. Hidden Assets continues on Sunday nights. It's RTE1 at 9:30. And of course, if you want to catch up on the action to date, you can check out the first two episodes. They're up on the RTE player. Peter, have a fab day.
Thanks a million, Lottie. Great talking to you.